This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, our Rural Issues series continues. Our look at the presidential candidates and what they mean for rural America. Today, we take a look at rural entrepreneurs here in East Central Illinois. We'll also get a forecast from Ed Kieser, first to look at today's news. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich has approved part of an emergency budget package. But for those hoping for additional state money, including state parks, the wait continues. Sean Crawford has more.
Blagojevich agreed to take nearly $250 million from various dedicated accounts. Lawmakers already gave their okay, saying that amount should be used to pay for social service programs, prevent layoffs, and keep open state parks and historic sites that are set to close at the end of November. But the governor won't go that far. His spokesperson says there are still concerns with taking money from certain accounts. That is, many speculating Blagojevich is holding out because he wants authority to spend even more money. Democratic Senator Jeff Schoenberg of Evanston sponsored part of this budget package. He says as tax revenues are likely to fall short of projections, the state will be in need of additional financial help.
I expect that we're going to need to do a similar sweeps bill in the fall veto session that will arrive at a comparable number.
Schoenberg says that can be dealt with next month, and in the meantime, the governor should act quickly on the spending measure now on his desk to prevent the cuts. I'm Sean Crawford.
Convicted political fundraiser Tony Rezko will now be sentenced December 16th. Yesterday, a federal judge delayed Rezko's sentencing to give him more time to talk to federal authorities. More on that story from Robert Wildebohr.
Rezko was supposed to be sentenced this month, but according to a court filing, he's in discussions with prosecutors, discussions that may alter his sentence. In the meantime, his defense attorney Bill Ziegelmuller says Rezko's essentially being held in solitary confinement.
It's pretty solitary. He doesn't get out. There's no cellmate. There's no ability to walk around the cell block. And he's in the area that they have for discipline purposes. And he's been there now for, I guess, since June.
Ziegelmuller wouldn't say if he thought it was a tactic by prosecutors to pressure Rezko into cooperating with their investigation into corruption in state government under Governor Rod Blagojevich. The Metropolitan Correctional Facility is, like the U.S. Attorney's Office, part of the Department of Justice. A spokesman says when designating an inmate, the jail gets information from many sources, including the U.S. Attorney's Office. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
Backers of a salary freeze for the City of Champaign Township supervisor say it's needed to help pass a township tax hike to pay for general assistance. Under a resolution passed this week by City Council members, the supervisor's pay will be frozen for the next 2 years and then raised 2% a year during the third and fourth years. The township assessor, meanwhile, will receive annual 2% raises over all 4 years. Councilwoman Marcy Dodd says township salaries need to be kept low to persuade voters that a 2-cent property tax hike on the township in November's ballot will help the poor and not just pay higher salaries.
It's harder to convince people to support a tax raise if the first thing they're going to say to you is, you know, that 2 cents is just going to go to the supervisor's salary. It's just going to go to salaries. It's not. It's going to go to the poor. But that sets up one extra hurdle in people's minds.
But the measure left a different impression on Township Supervisor Linda Abernathy. She said the salary freeze and small raises seem to be council members' way of showing their disdain for her and for the township's general assistance program for the poor.
You know, the sad thing to me about all of this is they have sort of not valued the township. And I think this is just another form of their method.
Abernathy says she also detected a racial undertone to the council's treatment of her and general assistance. She says she'll announce later this month whether she's running for a second term as supervisor. A proposal to return Champaign County government to a single county administrator has passed the county board's policy committee. The vote was unanimous. If the full board approves in 2 weeks, Champaign County would end its 10-year experiment with dual administrators. AM 580's Jim Meadows explains.
Champaign County is the only county in Illinois with two county administrators, Denny Inman in charge of facilities and procurement and Deb Busey, who manages finance and human resources. Urbana Democrat Brendan McGinty serves on a subcommittee studying administrative structure. He says Inman and Busey were deputy administrators who took over in tandem after the previous administrator, Jackie White, stepped down in 1998.
The board at that time thought it was a more logical division to go with two administrators. That time really has passed, I think, at this point. We're looking at a situation now where one administrator would create communication channels that are more succinct, that accountability to a single administrator would be clear.
The proposed ordinance calls for Champaign County to install a single administrator in December of 2009 after Inman's and Busey's current contracts run out. County board members are avoiding the question of whether that single administrator might be one of the two current ones. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A new electric cooperative is ready to sign up customers willing to leave Ameren. New Illinois Cooperative Energy, also known as NICE, is a not-for-profit venture. Leaders say they believe consumers would rather buy power from an entity that's not-for-profit versus one controlled by investors. The chairman, Alan Libra, says the idea is to collectively buy electricity on behalf of members. He says the aim is to buy when the price is low, similar to building a stock portfolio. Libra says that means power bills could be cheaper.
If Illinois residential consumers are going to have any benefit out of electric deregulation and competition, I'm convinced this is the only way it can happen. It has to be on a not-for-profit basis.
Libra is also involved with the Greenville-based Southwestern Electric Cooperative, which is helping launch the latest efforts. Consumers who are supplied with electricity by municipal providers or other co-ops aren't eligible for the program. Customers who do join would also have to pay a $4 monthly fee to cover operations. But Ameren would still deliver the power, and customers will have to pay Ameren's delivery rates, which just went up this month in some areas. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. All this week, AM 580 has been bringing you views from around the nation on the presidential race and how it relates to the issues that rural Americans face. Today, we bring the focus back to Champaign County. Rural America has seen an exodus of residents and businesses for decades, but now it's evolving into a garden spot for entrepreneurs. Many don't have much of a choice because jobs in large companies or farms are drying up and self-employment helps pay the bills. Still others get into business for love of their communities, helping small-town storefronts spring back to life. Our question is, what can government do to help them out? Think of the word entrepreneur, and you may conjure up images of self-starting business leaders who make it big. Think a Horatio Alger story or a Silicon Valley computer tycoon. But more realistic examples exist on rural Main Street, where things haven't been so bright. A good deal of the daytime traffic through Homer, Illinois, is on the Norfolk Southern line that splits the town in two. When the trains speed through and the gates go back up on Route 47, Homer's Main Street gets a smattering of traffic, semis hauling grain, the occasional car or pickup. Banker Tom Butler says it wasn't always so quiet.
Used to, in the small community, going to town was coming to the main street of Homer on Saturday evening, and today it's definitely different because after 9 o'clock in the evening, many times I've noticed there's not a car on the street at all.
Let me go check this gentleman out.
Getting warm again, Ann.
It's going to be humid today. Hardware.
Homer is lucky in that for most of its life, it's retained some retail staples. Charlotte and Kenny Brown bought out the old hardware store 4 years ago and moved its contents, shopping cart by shopping cart, across the street to what was once a bowling alley. They used the savings they amassed from their appliance business in the next town over. Charlotte says right now the hardware store is just breaking even.
You know, it comes and goes. Some weeks it's busy, some weeks it's slow, but from what I understand, it is everywhere. But I enjoy it. I love it. I love meeting the public. You know, I love people. And I just wish that there was more people that would come through that front door.
Charlotte Brown wants to see what others theorize about rural retail, that local people who are tired of $4 a gallon gas will skip the 30-mile round trip to the Home Depot or Walmart and pay slightly higher prices at the small town stores.
That's where I'm from.
Walk south a couple of century-old storefronts in Homer, and you find Ms. Becky's Variety Shop and Tea Room. It's all refurbished wood trim and potpourri inside. Cool. Becky Smith and her husband Freddie deal in crafts and dolls rather than hammers and light bulbs. Freddie says it's scary sometimes with $50,000 wrapped into a three-year renovation job.
We rolled over a big chunk of our retirement into this. It's just an investment, not all of it, but a good chunk of it, and that's how we invest it.
The Smiths studied the craft industry and applied their own experience selling crafts at fairs. The Browns use their 30 years of appliance business know-how to keep their hardware store going. But Charlotte Brown says if there's a government program out there to help new small-town entrepreneurs, she doesn't know about it.
If you've never been in business before, you don't really know who to ask and what to ask and how to ask for it, you know.
The last federal farm bill set aside $15 million to promote rural entrepreneurship. Democrat Barack Obama's website sets out a detailed rural policy, including some of those same types of programs, seed money, a tax credit, training and technical assistance. Penn State University professor Stefan Getz says the biggest problem may not be capital, but linking people to all that help.
The capital is there by and large, and you know, in some communities the capital may be more of a constraint than in others, but I'm getting more and more convinced that it's the human capital, the education side that's missing in terms of helping these individuals, or that additional investments would have a bigger payoff at this point.
Republican John McCain has not set out as extensive a rural affairs proposal. His ideas, which he announced last spring, are ones that tend to appeal to businesses and entrepreneurs in general, and a lot of them have to do with lower taxes.
Tax laws shouldn't smother the ingenuity of our people with needless regulations and disincentives. So I'll propose and sign into law a reform agenda to permit the first year expensive new equipment and technology, to ban internet taxes permanently, to ban cell phone taxes.
For many entrepreneurs, it simply boils down to basic smarts and a good initial funding source. From there, hardware store owner Charlotte Brown says their fortunes run on desire and luck. Meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast for today calls for sunshine across the two-state area and pleasantly temperate. The highs from around 70 in the far north, the 78 in the south, 75 in Champaign-Urbana with northwest to north winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Clear skies overnight tonight. The lows from 39 in northeast Indiana to 52 in the south, mid-50s in Chicago in the urban areas, 46 overnight in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, sunny and Champaign's high 77 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly clear and 54. Saturday, sunny and 80, and the same forecast for Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.